This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, February the 14th. We just heard in state news that Governor Doyle delivered his proposed state budget to the state legislature last night, saying it is not a budget for the big oil companies or the big tobacco companies, calling it a budget for the middle class and those trying to get there. We'll talk with our guests about that, whether they agree or not, in this hour. And we'll welcome your thoughts and questions about the budget. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send your question or comment via email, talk@wpr.org. Governor Doyle says the two-year budget is fiscally sound. He says his plan will leave the state with a projected net balance in 2 years of $131 million. State spending would increase an average of 4.5% a year of the next 2 years. The governor relies heavily on an increase in tax collections from an improved economy, new revenue from the proposed cigarette tax increase, the new tax on hospital revenues, and the tax on big oil as a way to get there. We'll talk about all of this, including a special focus on the oil tax and the hospital tax, as we will later in the hour be welcoming in a guest from the Wisconsin Petroleum Council and a guest from the Wisconsin Hospital Association to react to those two proposed taxes. But all hour long, we are very happy to have with us Andrew Rushkowski, a professor of public affairs and applied economics at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He specializes in public finance. Good morning.
Good morning.
So your general reaction to this budget, is this a fiscally sound budget?
I think the answer is yes. It is a surprisingly good budget in a difficult fiscal time when the governor faced a pretty large deficit that needed to be filled. And I think what I would like to emphasize is that he managed to solve some of the long-time perm problems of the state. So, as you mentioned, the ending balance is larger, but probably even more significant, his reliance on one-time fixes and adjustments, which has plagued the budget for a number of years. They don't go away, but they're much smaller than they have been in the past.
Yeah. What one-time fixes remain?
I haven't seen the detailed budget that's hundreds of pages long, so I actually don't know.
Right. I know that he said he reduces his one-time fixes, but I wasn't even—I suppose the cigarette tax isn't a forever time fix, is it?
Well, the trouble with the cigarette tax is that hopefully it will discourage people from smoking, and as it's a fixed amount per pack, and if there are fewer smokers, the amount of revenue it raises each year goes down. So it's not we should evaluate that tax as a way of discouraging smoking and generating some revenue, but it's not going to, like most other taxes, grow over time.
Yeah. Can you, Professor, briefly, in layman's term, explain what the refinancing of bonds purchased with the state's tobacco lawsuit settlement money means? Is this a big deal?
Well, I don't know if it's a big deal, but I think it's again an example of sound financial management. When we resorted to this one-time borrowing, it was a period of higher interest rates. We can now refinance the bond just like you refinance a mortgage when interest rates go down and generate a savings. And that savings he's then committed to put into a fund to use for anti-smoking efforts, at least as I understand it.
Why is it important that that we have a projected net balance in 2 years of $131 million?
I think any budget, and if you just think even of a household, you don't want to be in a position where you're living on the line. The economy could be a little slower than we anticipated. So revenue comes in a little more slowly. Expenses could rise, more people applying for Medicaid, for instance, or more prisoners put in our prisons. suddenly a budget that's in balance could be in deficit. And so it's always good to have a buffer. In fact, in this state, we've traditionally not had any balances, and the $130 million is a good number only because it's so much, it's double what the last year's or last time's balance is. It's still a relatively small balance, and we should aim in this state to have much bigger balances.
We will check our weather forecast, and then we will continue talking with Professor Andrew Rushkowski, who is a professor of public affairs and applied economics at UW-Madison. And we will welcome in just a bit, Aaron Roth, executive director of the Wisconsin Petroleum Council, to talk with us about this proposed oil tax. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have about the state budget that Governor Doyle proposed last night. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 7 o'clock. Ben Marins is with you this afternoon between 4 and 6 for At Issue with Ben Marins. And Ben will be talking with Todd Berry, president of the Wisconsin Taxpayers Alliance, after 4 o'clock this afternoon to get Todd Berry's economic reality check on the governor's proposed state budget. We're getting various perspectives from guest experts and other analysts and advocates during this morning's program as well on the state budget proposed by Governor Doyle last night. Coming up in our next hour, we'll be welcoming in the co-chairs of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. The legislature starts tackling these issues now, and we'll see where there's agreement and maybe not any agreement in the state legislature in our next hour. We're talking with Andrew Rushkowski, a professor of public affairs and applied economics at UW-Madison, during this hour. And we'll also be welcoming in a few moments, Aaron Roth, executive director of the Wisconsin Petroleum Council. First, though, let's hear what Governor Doyle had to say last night about taxing oil companies.
Instead of asking our citizens to pay more in tolls or higher taxes, I think we should ask the oil companies to pay more. And so tonight, I propose an oil company assessment of 2.5% per barrel to support our transportation needs. It will be illegal for them to pass the fee on to the consumers, with criminal penalties if they break the law. Let's turn the tables on big oil and give Wisconsin families a break.
All right, we wonder what you think about that. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And we also wonder what Aaron Roth thinks about that. Good morning.
Hi, Joy.
So what do you think about that?
I think most the average Wisconsin citizen sees through the political rhetoric. It's a very punitive tax directed towards one industry. And if today it's the oil company that's fallen out of favor with the governor, what industry tomorrow might be at jeopardy?
He doesn't like big tobacco either.
Well, that's another one. You know, he doesn't like hospitals either, I guess. But, you know, it's a very punitive tax. No other state, you know, has been successful in not allowing the companies to pass the tax along. And let's be honest, industries that are taxed by government find a way to pass it on, irregardless if Wisconsin passes this prohibition or not. And secondly, we really question the constitutionality of doing that.
Yeah. What would be the constitutional question about whether a tax could be placed on the oil coming into Wisconsin?
There have been court cases, and we are still researching, but where states have tried to prohibit oil companies from passing on a tax, and courts have ruled in favor of the oil companies. So there is some precedent out there, and, you know, although Governor Doyle is saying he's basing it on some Puerto Rican case, we feel confident that this thing would be could be challenged and be reversed in terms of passing the tax on. In the meantime, if it does pass like this and it does get litigated, you know, you're talking a couple of years in the court system where this money is tied up and can't be used for transportation.
Yeah. Well, let's say it is difficult to figure out how to not pass that on to the consumer. What's wrong with putting a tax on the barrels of oil that come into Wisconsin?
Well, we do have that. It's called a state gas tax. So this is really a hidden gas tax in sheep's clothing. If we need money for transportation, which we do, and we need a broad package, we need to look at everything. We need to look at reforms in the transportation funding mechanism. We need to look at broadening the base. And if we need to raise the gas tax, let's have that debate. But this is basically a way to hide it by saying, well, we're going to pass it on to big oil. When in fact, you know, most people that I've talked to realize that, you know, in the best case scenario, we're not going to eat the total tax. Somehow we're going to pass it on, whether it's nationally as we throw everything into, you know, all taxes into one pot or not.
All right. Anything else on what the governor had to say last night?
Well, you know, we have many difficult decisions in transportation funding. And, of course, you know, the raid on the transportation fund that the governor made in the last budget has exacerbated the problem in this budget. So, you know, it's made it even more difficult with these decisions. But certainly, you know, as we go into the budget process, it'll all be debated. And with this tax and the inability for oil companies to pass it on, we'll fight hard and hopefully we'll win.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Yes, thanks, Joy.
Aaron Roth, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Petroleum Council, reacting to the proposed tax on oil companies proposed by Governor Doyle last night in his state budget address. We also are talking with Professor Andrew Rushofsky, a professor of public affairs and applied economics at UW-Madison. Professor, is this a gas tax in sheep's clothing? Do you agree with Aaron Roth?
I do agree with Eric, Eric Ross, that when you think about gasoline prices, we all know they go up and down, and we also know that big oil corporations are complex, multinational corporations. Things change all the time. It seems to me a little bit naive to think that these corporations won't be able to figure out a way of passing on higher gas prices to consumers, and hiding the fact. And but I should also add that higher gas prices are a perfectly reasonable way to pay for more roads. And I think what motivated this on the part of the governor was probably politics, and he thought it might not be popular to raise gas prices. And but we shouldn't be fooled by the fact that this really will make driving more expensive.
Yeah. The transportation needs in this state are in trouble if we don't put this tax on the oil companies?
Well, you know, this whole question of the transportation needs, I find a little bit interesting how one uses the word needs. The state has decided that it has a plan on highways and how many highways it's going to build. We have a state which has a great highway network. The governor's budget calls for, I think it's $400 million in extra spending on highways over the next biennium. That's about twice as much as it's going to spend on the university system and on a large number relative to increases in education. So it's a choice that we're making, and it says something about as a state as about our priorities. So we could do with fewer highways. That's not my decision to make, but we shouldn't talk about it as a crisis, I think, or not meeting a need.
Let's take a caller. George in Milwaukee. Hi, George. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I think the governor's plan to place a tax on oil companies that's not passed along to the consumer is a great idea. We are providing troops to go to Iraq to defend the interests not only of our country but of oil companies to be able to bring oil out of the country. Taxing in other ways, such as toll booths, would add additional bureaucracy and danger into the system. And, you know, if the oil companies can find a different way to pass along the taxes to the consumers, that's their issue. But that's not any reason to attempt to tax companies that are making more than a fair profit.
Mm-hmm. And Professor Roshofsky, just want to react to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should be discouraging driving, discouraging importing Mideast oil. But the way to do that, really, and the clean way to do that, is to make oil and petroleum more expensive for the consumer. And then the economics incentives that we'll all face are to reduce our use of Mideast oil. And that's likely, to, in the end, to be much more effective.
Yeah. We're going to focus in a little bit more on this hospital tax in our next half hour when we welcome in a guest from the Wisconsin Hospital Association to react to it. But what can you tell us about this tax and whether this makes sense or not?
It's called, a hospital provider tax. And one important thing to know about it is, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but as it is a charge to hospitals, it can then be matched by Medicaid dollars. This means federal money from the U.S. government. So for every dollar paid by hospitals, more than a dollar comes in extra Medicaid funding. And so it's a good deal for the state from a fiscal perspective. And what's interesting, it's a strategy that other states have used for years and years in increasing their share of Medicaid funding, and we've lagged behind most other states. And so I think it's in some ways high time that we use a strategy that other has worked in other states.
Yeah, so you would not go along with the reaction that this is a tax on sick people, which is
no.
What the hospitals say?
No, it's not. I mean, it's not really a tax on sick. I think that's rhetoric. It is obviously a tax on hospital and hospital beds, and it gets paid. Most people have insurance, and yes, it will be passed on by hospitals in the form of higher insurance. But one of the things to focus on is the fact that the money will be used by the governor to, if the proposal goes through, to reduce the number of people without insurance in this state, particularly children. And if these kids don't have insurance, they either don't get medical care or more likely they go to more expensive emergency rooms. And one way or the other, medical services get delivered and the cost has to be borne, often indirectly mm-hmm. through higher insurance rates.
Let's hold it here for now. Check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll return and talk more about Governor Jim Doyle's budget plan, which he delivered to the legislature last night. We'll talk more about what's in this budget document and what's not and what it means to your pocketbook. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 7:36 on this Wednesday morning, February the 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. We're talking about Governor Doyle's proposed budget delivered to the state legislature last night, a $58 billion document that the governor says is a budget for the middle class and those who want to get there. We are discussing the budget and answering your questions and responding to your views at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. The governor's budget does not raise sales taxes or income taxes, does raise some targeted taxes, like proposes a hike in the cigarette tax, proposes a tax on Oil companies proposes a tax on hospitals. Republicans say that Governor Jim Doyle's budget will raise taxes an average of $310 on every person in the state. Assembly Speaker Mike Hipsch says that taxpayers can't afford that cost. He says a family of four doesn't have $1,200 lying around to pay for what he calls the Democrats' spending spree. He says that more spending needs to be cut from state government, and more needs to be done to hold taxes in line. We'll ask our guest about that, and again, ask you what you think about this at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Andrew Rushofsky is a professor of public affairs and applied economics at UW-Madison, specializing in public finance. Professor, what do you say about what Republicans are saying here, that this budget raises taxes on Wisconsin families, an average of $310 on every person in the state? The governor says that that he's not raising taxes on us. He's actually providing tax cuts. Which is it?
Well, in some ways, it's both. It's interesting that in the news so far and the press has focused entirely on the part of the budget that's increasing taxes and ignored the fact that in the budget, the governor proposes to reduce taxes over the biennium by about $660 million. And one can argue with some of those tax cuts of whether they're good ideas or not, but the net is what one should pay attention to, and pay attention to the fact that there's a big reduction in taxes on Social Security benefits and on estates and a bunch of business taxes.
Yeah, in fact, we had a caller during the newscast who couldn't hold on, who was confused about the state tax on Social Security and didn't know there was such a thing. You want to clear that up?
Yes. Mm-hmm. In 1986, the federal government started taxing Social Security benefits, but only on taxpayers with middle and higher income. So people with modest income, the average person who got Social Security, was never subject to federal taxes, and the state followed suit. And then last year, I think this was a bad idea, the state and the governor assigned a phased-in reduction of or elimination of the tax on Social Security benefits that only applied, remember, to people who had relatively high income. So it's targeted to high-income individuals. The governor has decided to, rather than phase it in over 4 years, to eliminate that tax immediately in this budget.
Yeah, the governor said last night, my budget includes more than a dozen separate tax cuts aimed at creating jobs and helping families in their daily lives, saving the taxpayers of Wisconsin $1.7 billion over the next 4 years. One of those is expanding the tuition tax deduction, saving families up to $400 off their tax bill.
That's right. And then there are a series of other, smaller tax reductions targeted, I think fairly well targeted, at particular, he mentioned the dairy industry, for instance, and mm-hmm. cheese making and things like that. They don't involve individually a large amount of money, but they're targeted to one thing. And the proposed tax increases are also targeted to certain users, for instance, cigarette smokers. And so then to argue that the average taxpayer in this state is going to face tax increase, one, ignores the tax reductions, and two, ignores the fact that the governor, regardless of the wisdom of that decision, decided explicitly not to use what economists call broad-based taxes. So there are no sales tax increases, there are no income tax increases that would affect everyone.
He lift the cap on the property taxes?
He loosened the cap on property tax levies that are allowable for municipal governments and for county governments.
Mm-hmm.
And my own sense is that the way to think about a cap is that the state is coming in and saying to local decision makers that you can't increase your property taxes by more than 2% or the growth of property, at the same time that
things that local governments really don't have any control over: fuel prices, health insurance prices, the costs of doing business and providing public safety and sanitation and so forth, often grow at faster rates. And that's really squeezed services in many municipalities. So it seems to be quite reasonable to say, okay, we're not going to eliminate the cap completely, but we're going to loosen it a bit.
Yeah. Let's take a caller who's waiting. Rochelle in Eau Claire. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you too.
I just had a question about the governor's proposed plan to extend Badger Care coverage. Mm-hmm. I had heard that, I know that he wanted to extend it to all of Wisconsin's children, but I had also heard that he wanted to extend it to people who would qualify for Badger Care, except for the fact that they do not have children. Am I correct on this, or could you elaborate on that a little bit, please?
I haven't seen the details, and really only a one-line description that suggests that there is some expansion to individuals without children. How exactly that's written and crafted, I'm afraid one has to look at the detailed budget, that hundreds of pages of documents, which I haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I don't have it right in front of me, and I don't have the details either, but the proposal was that adults without children that are low income at some limit would be able to qualify for Badger Care. So it's a statement. It's not the details. Thanks, Rochelle, for the call. Professor Rushkowski, do you have winners and losers in this particular budget? Our professor in the last hour was talking about how this is a really great budget for education and Wisconsin families and kids. Thought that maybe things like transportation might not be getting what they want, and maybe corrections maybe not getting what it wants. Do you want to just kind of elaborate on how you see it?
Well, it's worth noting that the way the budgetary process works is that each of the government departments has a wish list, and the process of making the budget is trimming down those wish lists. And again, I think there will be released in the next day the details where one could go department by department and see which departments didn't get as much as they wanted. But it's clear that a priority in this budget are the two, you might argue, core functions, or most important quantitatively functions of government: education, both K-12 and higher education, which did, I think, quite well under this budget, and health care, and expanding health care to those who haven't been insured. And in a tight budget, that means you have to not expand some other areas quite as much.
We will talk a little bit more about health care. After we check weather, we will be welcoming in the president of the Wisconsin Hospital Association to talk about the proposed tax on hospitals. 1-800-642-1234 is the number you can use to talk about items in the state budget that matter to you. Healthcare, education, property taxes. 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 13 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8 o'clock, I'll be welcoming in Russ Decker, Democratic State Senator from Weston. He is co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. And Kitty Rhodes, Republican State Senator, or I'm sorry, Representative from Hudson. She's also co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee. So we'll have the co-chairs on to talk about what legislators are going to do with this proposed budget plan. And right now, we welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. We have been talking about some of the highlights of the state budget. Governor Jim Doyle presented to the legislature last night, talked some about how this raises the per-pack tax on cigarettes from $1.25 to $2.02. It proposes a tax on oil companies, and we've talked some about that. Yeah, we talked a little bit about the cap on property taxes and how that would be lifted a little bit. And we will also talk more now about the proposed tax on hospitals. And let's hear how Governor Doyle presented this last night.
We'll work through the Medicaid system to get more federal revenue. An additional $575 million of federal money. Other states use financing tools that generate substantially more federal money than Wisconsin receives. And I believe we shouldn't let any special interest group stand in the way of getting our fair share from Washington.
We welcome in now George Quinn, who is Senior Vice President of the Wisconsin Hospital Association. Good morning.
Good morning.
So your group, I believe, has referred to this, or at least some people who are associated with hospitals have referred to this as a tax on sick people. Is that what you think this is?
Well, let me just say that we agree with Governor Doyle that there's a need to bring more federal dollars into Wisconsin. And we certainly need to increase provider payment rates, including hospital payment rates from the Medicaid program. We don't agree that a hospital tax is the best way to do that.
Yeah, why not?
Well, we think there are, first of all, there are other sources of revenue, such as a tobacco tax, that could garner federal dollars to the tune of about $1.1 billion over the biennium. We think that there is sufficient funds within that total to carry out many of the programs that the governor has laid out, as well as increase provider payment rates. You know, the experience that the nursing homes have had in this state with regard to a bed tax, in their case, is not a good one. Every year there's an increase proposed in that tax, with increasing amounts being diverted to other purposes apart from payment rates to nursing homes. And the bed tax for nursing homes in this state has really done very little to alleviate the very dire circumstances that they're under.
Yeah, the nursing home bed tax was also proposed to be increased from $75 a month to $125 a month, but your point is that that's not going to help nursing home residents. It's going somewhere else.
Well, that tends to be the case not only in our state with the nursing home bed tax, but our look at other states with even hospital taxes, over the course of time, there are decreasing percentages of that brought into payment rates for hospitals and increasing amounts that are diverted to other state purposes.
Yeah, well, the governor said that a bunch of other states are doing this hospital tax on gross revenue, and that's how they're bringing in more more federal money. Why shouldn't Wisconsin just follow the suit of these other states?
Well, as we said, we support the idea. I agree with the governor that what we have experienced in the past is really a very poor record in bringing federal dollars into Wisconsin. That's of course resulted in the very poor payment record we have for providers from the Medicaid program in our state. There are better ways to do it, such as the tobacco tax. What happens with provider taxes, as I mentioned earlier, is over the course of time, you have new policymakers come into office, legislators as well as governors, who have different views of how those funds will be used. I can give you an example. In Kentucky, they passed a hospital tax in the mid-'80s. And over the course of time, of course, what happens is different people have different ideas about how to use that money. In 2003, as I recall, only 15% of what hospitals were taxed resulted in payment increases to those hospitals. So you can see that there certainly is a track record regarding these taxes that isn't a good one and isn't one that we look on favorably.
George Quinn, thanks a lot for being with us.
Happy to.
Senior Vice President of the Wisconsin Hospital Association reacting to the governor's proposed hospital tax of 1% of gross revenue proposed in his state budget address last night. Professor Rushofsky, what's your response to the Wisconsin Hospital Association's position on this proposed tax?
I think Mr. Quinn's
argument was that in some other places, in some other times, we've had the use of a similar tax that then hasn't returned much to hospitals. And that's not really relevant. The really relevant question is what the governor has proposed here. And I think his proposal is to return a large share of the amount to higher payments to hospitals and the rest of it to use in the funding of the Medicaid program. So certainly that's what we should be debating, and the money will stay within the health care area, which I think is the important question.
Yeah. And again, we talked briefly about this before, but I still don't understand exactly why taxing the hospitals will bring more federal money into Wisconsin.
Because the way the Medicaid, as I understand it, the way the Medicaid program works is that the federal government pays about 60-some percent of every dollar of Medicaid expenses, and that means health care expenses for people who are eligible for Medicaid. So the largest group are elderly, low-income individuals, and if the hospital... there's a hospital bed tax that increases the bill that the hospitals submit, and that brings in more federal money.
Okay. Let's go to Dennis in Sister Bay. Hi, Dennis.
Good morning. This means that we turn back the clock a bit, but I'm in possession of a rather nicely prepared flyer from our representative in Door, Mr. Gary Bees, who indicates as part of the highlights of the 05-06 session in the legislature, they implemented a number of tax cuts, including exempting Social Security from Wisconsin taxes, allowing full deductions for health insurance premiums. Did that, in fact, occur, or is that a propaganda?
I think that's still proposed, right, Professor?
That's correct. I think there was some increase in the health premium deduction, but the governor's proposal, as I understand it, is to allow 100% deduction of premium payments by individuals.
Yeah. Thanks, Dennis. Might want to take that up with your representative. Bill in Milwaukee. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I'm just curious about this cigarette tax. Hospitals looking to find extra monies. What happens if that program is successful? People quit smoking, and we have great numbers of reduced cigarette smokers. No taxes coming in. The gentleman that was on just a minute ago referred to the cigarette tax a couple of different times, but offered no other options.
Yeah, the governor is proposing raising the tax on cigarettes from $1.25 to $2.02 a pack. You want to talk about the finances of a cigarette tax, Professor?
If I might, I think the details of the cigarette proposal were to increase the tax by $1.25, and the current tax rate is something like 77 cents.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The Associated Press I'm quoting from wrote a from, but it's increasing it by $1.25.
A very large increase, and that would suggest that revenue would more than double by a substantial amount. And I think the hope is that that's not true. That a lot of people will, when they face this higher tax, decide not to smoke, particularly teenagers and people who are just beginning or considering beginning to smoke and are not yet addicted. And to the extent that this higher price on cigarettes is effective, obviously that's going to reduce the amount of revenue that the state brings in.
Yeah, and I think that's what the bill is concerned about, that if we're paying for things based on the cigarette tax, what do we do when the cigarette tax revenues go down because people quit smoking?
I think we then have to face the fact that we need to increase broad-based taxes. And we ought to consider their arguments for and against the cigarette tax, whether it's a regressive tax or not. One of the arguments that should not be made is that this is a good source of good stream of future revenue.
Yeah.
Because it isn't.
Well, I think we'll leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Andrew Rushofsky is a professor of public affairs and applied economics at UW-Madison, specializing in public finance. We thank him for his time. We also thank our guest from the Wisconsin Hospital Association and Aaron Roth, executive director of the Wisconsin Petroleum Council. All our guests during this hour. We thank you for listening and for calling in. We invite you to continue to call in with your thoughts and questions about the state budget delivered last night by Governor Doyle to the state legislature. $58 billion for the next 2 years. It does not raise sales taxes or income taxes or business taxes. It does raise some targeted taxes, including hiking the cigarette tax. Property taxes could go up by as much as 4%. It imposes a new hospital tax. It also imposes a tax on big oil. We'll talk more about the state budget coming up after the news.